Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
An Erio's original.
Welcome to Foxy Browns. I'm Priyanka.
I'm Camilla, and this is the podcast that navigates beauty and wellness from our perspectives as women of color.
This week, like every week, we're talking stuff and things, tips and tricks, and deconstructing Western beauty standards, and we are joined by special guest Taz Ahmed.
Hi, Taz.
We're so excited to have you here. Taz is an activist, storyteller, and co-host of the critically acclaimed and very necessary Good Muslim, Bad Muslim podcast, which is sadly coming to an end.
It is. But we had a good 5-year run.
That's 5 years.
I'm just saying that. No, like, no one does anything for 5 years.
No, anymore. Absolutely. You had like amazing highs. You got to like, yeah. I mean, you did everything with
we
that
podcast. We
recorded
the White House.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. I mean,
the other White House. Yeah, Obama's yeah. White House.
The actual, yes. One, the real White
the
House.
Real White House.
This one doesn't count.
This one doesn't. No, absolutely.
This
doesn't
is a sham. Yeah. This is a weird puppet government. Mm-mm. Absolutely. Yeah. No, how incredible. I got the invite to your Khudafiz party.
Aww. I know we're going to say bye, but we're going to have a fun party. We're going to celebrate the ending. Yeah. I feel like I've been a part of so many different projects where they just kind of like fade.
Yes. Right.
And we didn't want that to happen this time around. I run this podcast with Zara Norbash, and we wanted to celebrate and just, you know, acknowledge that 5 years is it's a fucking long time.
It's also like a TV season, like, you know, too. And there are so many TV shows that just run a few seasons past they really should. Mm-hmm. So you appreciate the ones that actually, like The
Make
Good
a
Place.
Choice. Yeah.
He said, you know what? We're going out 3 seasons. Yeah. Well, that's enough.
Well, you still love us.
Yes. Yeah. And that is the end.
Well, that's what we've always said about this podcast, too, is that we love doing it. And we, yeah, we really, really love making it. And we love doing it together. There will be a point where we go, we can't do this anymore.
Yeah.
It's not going to last forever. Yeah. And certainly not if you don't subscribe right now.
Exactly. So subscribe and send it to everyone, as many as possible.
Send us.
If you don't send it to 5 people right now, we'll end the podcast next week.
We should have like our ask should be like a chain letter situation. It's if you don't send this to 5 people,
this and this is going to happen.
Within 24 hours, what's going to happen?
We're going to shut down the podcast.
Yeah. My mother will call you and yell at you. I should point her in that direction.
That's amazing.
That would be like, great.
Wow.
The next episode will just be my mother
yelling,
tearing you apart.
That should be like an ad.
Oh my God. Someone posted something the other day about their mum does a yearly thing where they basically sit them down on New Year's, like, you know, like 1st or 2nd of January and just kind of like reviews where they're going right and wrong in their lives and where they
like
can
a board
focus
meeting.
More,
find
like
this,
more attention.
Find this,
I know.
Find
and this. I was like, I would pay money for this service.
Oh yes.
From someone else's mother.
Not for mom,
not for
though.
My own mom. No.
I have friends that have like, they'll convene for certain life changes that they're going through. They have a certain board that of friends that they will say like, okay, it's time for our meeting. And then they talk through their life goals together and they like hold them accountable for the year.
That's wonderful.
I know. I pretty feel fun. Like I need it, but I feel like it might be too much accountability.
No, but my
if you're
friend,
scared of it, it's good.
Right?
Yeah. My friend Beth goes to a party every year that's like, it's called an accountability. It's like a determinations party or something where they like just write down in like a certain tense. It's like, this year I will. And then it's like all the things you're going to do. And she says the last 2 years, it's all happened.
That's
just because
marvelous.
she's focused on the things she actually wants to do. Mm. And then all the noise that comes in, she's like, nope, that's not part of my,
that's
like a letter that I wrote for myself.
That's amazing.
It's pretty smart.
I kind of want to do this.
Okay, guys, should we just do it?
Well, we're going to going to talk all about that in a little bit, but we need to start with stuff and things.
Indeed. Mm. Okay.
So stuff and things is just purchases, treatments, recommendations, steer clears, you know, like anything that you have enjoyed in the last whatever. Anything new, any products, any treatments? We can go first.
Yeah.
Okay, great. Cam, what's your...
My thing this week was a... it's the Goop enzyme exfoliator, and it's made of a pineapple enzyme, and it's got a creamy, like a creamy kind of nutty texture. You kind of put it on. I usually try to put it on for like 2 minutes. So I put it on, then I brush my teeth, and then you rinse it off, and it's just resurfaces. My skin is silky smooth, but it's also really been helping with some of my pigmentation.
Ooh.
Because I'm talking to, you know, so many estheticians recently, you know, pigmentation being such an issue for me personally, that everyone keeps coming back to is like a large part of it is exfoliation.
Yes,
so
of course
they recommend using the exfoliator like twice a week. Gwyneth uses it every day.
Wow.
So I kind of split that's the difference, and I do it every other day. Mm-hmm. And it's made quite a big difference.
How much does it cost?
It's not terrible. I think it's around 40, 50 for a pot.
And how long does a pot last?
The pot, I bought it before the holidays. It is now Feb. So yeah. And I'm only about halfway through.
Okay, so a few months.
Yeah.
That's really good. Yeah. Cheaper than a facial.
Yes, very true.
As we always say.
Yes.
We're like, the product cheaper than a facial.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. But also Goop has really good sales. Like, yeah. And we do mock them
I've
for
I've never been on the Goop website.
There's a lot of great stuff.
I mean, there's
stuff.
A lot there's of also, nonsense, but there's
yeah,
a lot
there's
of good
definitely
stuff.
Some nonsense. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, they will sell you like an infrared sauna for $12,000. But you can also get incredible sports bras for $25
really?
That are excellent. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the Goop sports bras I use a lot, and I do a lot of dance as well. So there's a lot of jumping around, and yeah. they keep the girls strapped
keep,
down.
Keep it all in.
We yeah. should do like you should tell us your faves,
yeah,
because you've sifted through.
That's true.
That's very very. That would be yeah. extremely helpful because also, there's yeah. the jade eggs. You know, like
yeah.
what can you do?
I mean, we don't need those. Also, yeah, the racerback like vest tops for working mm-hmm. out are great. They are cut in a way that is
the armhole.
The armhole,
always
impeccable,
the armhole.
And also doesn't give you that weird sports bra back fat thing. It's,
yeah.
it's just, they're very well cut. Someone has thought about them very well.
I'm going to actually visit the Goop website now.
You're going to have to.
Because I just kind of yeah. stayed away because of the jade eggs. I was
yeah.
like,
yeah. Yeah, don't worry. There's some nonsense on
you don't
there.
Have to put everything in
yeah.
your vagina.
Yeah. Don't put everything in your vagina. No, really. Don't do that. No. That's just
but creams and workout gear. She yeah. certainly exercises.
Yeah. White excellence. Yeah, continue.
You are our number one booster.
It's true. She is my white mom.
My thing was that I went to Bloomingdale's during a sale, and I did not know about their in-house line of cashmere.
I did not know either.
Aqua.
Okay.
Really?
Aqua. Yeah, the price points are reasonable for okay. cashmere because I wound up by myself. I had a credit, I believe. Yeah. So I was like, I'm just going to have myself a bit cute.
Yeah.
And I bought this adorable gray cashmere sweater with little red hearts embroidered on it.
Yes.
And it was not that expensive. And they had a lot of really cute, there was like a neon green one with like a lightning bolt across it. Like interesting pieces.
Yeah.
I've gotten so many compliments on it, which is my only gauge.
Exactly. yeah.
Don't know how to dress myself.
I only leave the house for compliments. Yeah. We've talked about this.
Yeah, exactly. So people are always like, where did you get that? And I'm like, it's like the Bloomingdale's brand yeah. aqua
amazing.
Cashmere. Highly recommend. Yeah, and it's so soft. My baby touches it every morning and goes, "Sah!" Every
aww.
Time I wear it, "Sah!" Yeah, it's really, really, it's really cute. What, Taz, what's your thing?
So I'm doing Whole30 again.
Yeah.
I don't know if we're going to talk about cleanses later, but we can talk about it. And they promote using collagen.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a vital protein beauty collagen.
Big fan.
Which I love.
Great.
Which flavor do you use?
I like the greens.
Yeah.
Just a straight up green one. But I have the lavender lemon one right now.
Mm-hmm.
I can't seem to get through it as much as I got through the green one. So I just love anything with collagen in it right now.
Is it? Yes. And when it's dry out like this, don't you find that it really helps your skin?
Totally.
Yeah. I did the fish one because I don't eat beef. So like a lot of them are like cow bones, but immediate difference.
Yeah.
Like a day or two later, my skin was totally different.
Your nails are longer, your hair stronger, like everything.
Yeah.
It's pretty incredible. Is the beauty collagen, is that different from like the vats that they sell? Where,
kind of. Yeah. I think it just, I mean, I don't know. They're just selling it products.
I think the beauty one has added biotin, which is what helps your hair and nails.
Okay. And it tastes better. Yeah.
Oh, it does.
Oh, okay. That's interesting.
Because they have, the beauty ones are the ones with more flavor.
Yeah.
Like flavor options.
Yeah.
Okay, great. We will certainly link to that in the email. Yes. And so Taz, that actually is like the perfect lead in.
Excellent segue.
Excellent segue into our question today is our big overarching question is to cleanse or not to cleanse?
Because, you know, it's January, everyone's like, you know, new year, new me. And it kind of always feels like everyone kind of, you know, begins this very cyclical pattern of like, all right, this year I'm going to, you know, be incredibly punitive and clear everything from my diet.
That is my week.
Yeah.
You're like, yes, I have subscribed.
Yeah. And for some people that really, really works. And I think especially after like Christmas periods as well, where everything's just, you know, an awful lot of excess.
Just chocolate and wine. Mm-hmm. For like 2-3 months and cheese.
Yeah.
For like 3 straight months.
It's a magical time.
It's wonderful, but then doesn't everyone just wake up in January and go, ooh.
I was sick for the past 8 weeks, I feel. I feel like I got like a cold in end of November and I got better a little bit. Mm-hmm. The cough just never went away. So I just like perpetually just like coughing.
Yeah.
And I think my body by January was just like, nope.
Yeah, they're just like rejecting all the sugar. Yeah, and the flour.
My body was not. My period was late for 2 weeks first time. And I was like, I gotta like reset body.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Like, yeah. I don't necessarily have a cleanse because I find them very extreme.
Right.
Generally, they're like, so just drink chicken broth for like 3 weeks. I'm like, I can't.
Sure. Yeah.
I need to eat like a normal person, but I love a reset. I love like a January, like, okay, like we veered off path for a little while. We don't feel our best. Like, what do we need to do to feel our best? But also, like, I am just not a fan in general of wellness one size fits all, where they're like, this will be great for you.
Yes.
Like,
indeed.
No, different things work for different people.
Exactly.
So,
well, like, you know, I tried Whole30 once and found my cholesterol skyrocketed.
Really?
Quite a dangerous amount.
I wonder why.
You're eating so much protein and a lot of also a lot of shrimp as well, because again I don't eat a lot of red meat. And so that really affected my cholesterol quite drastically. I just remember my doctor being horrible. He's like, what happened? I was like, I'm doing Whole30, being very healthy. And he was like, and it's very, very common.
Right?
Yeah.
And I was thinking of doing keto, but my cholesterol was really high. So I was like, I think I need to stay away from keto. Yeah. Just do Whole30 without the red meats.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was vegan and my cholesterol was insane. Mm-hmm. And they were like, really? That's because your diet when you're vegan is all carbohydrates. And I don't even mean bread. I mean like vegetables.
Yes.
Like it's all, there's no protein or fat in the diet when you're vegan. So it didn't work for me. I could, now there are more options because there are more plant proteins and I could just put an avocado on everything. You know, I just know more, but vegan was very hard for me to be.
Yeah.
So not everything is good for everyone, you know? So everyone's like, well, I just, and plus like we code so many things as like virtuous and like not virtuous. There are all these people who are just like, I wish I could be vegan. And I'm like, why? It's not like some higher spiritual,
you know, cool thing. Exactly. You're just not eating certain things.
Yeah. That's you don't become like a better person, you know? Like,
I know some terrible vegans. Yes.
Like, Hitler was a vegan.
Oh my God.
Oh,
or it could have been.
It's also, I met my nutritionist, actually, funny enough, by, I overheard her in a Pilates studio telling a woman she should not do a juice cleanse.
Oh.
And explained to her why it was so much worse for, you know, for all of the things that she wanted the juice cleanse to, you know, she wanted to do it to lose weight. She wanted to do it to, you know, increase her productivity and all this other stuff and for clearer skin and whatever. And my wonderful nutritionist, Miriam, was just very quietly explained to her. It's like, this is a terrible idea and let me explain to you why.
Wow.
They're incredibly high in sugar. You are going to, like, you'll lose a lot of weight rapidly, but then you will gain it back rapidly and it will interfere with your metabolism in a way that will make it much harder for you to maintain a healthier weight going forward. And I overheard this and I was like, I love her.
That's amazing. I want to meet her nutritionist.
Yeah. She's incredible. Her name's Miriam Jacobson. She's absolutely awesome. She actually has this thing online, this Food Foundations course, which is a wonderful way to kind of dip your toe into, you know, into intuitive eating and nutrition. And the thing I love about her is she's just very reasonable.
Yeah.
And that she's also an actual medical professional as opposed to all of our LA nutritionists. Yeah. Who are just like, I'm just hot.
Say, like, I am a nutritionist.
I'm hot.
That's it. Don't you want to look like me?
Yeah.
You're like, well, that's the other thing. And if there's anything, and I feel like we should repeat this at the top of every episode of this show, is like, everybody is different.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Everybody is different and responds differently to a specific diet or a specific supplement or a specific anything. Like, what works for me might not work for you.
Exactly.
So all I can tell you is my experience, but that doesn't mean that it might work for you at all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
None of this is prescriptive. And it can't be. Well, if any of these things were universal, there would be 7 products.
Not at all. And also, like, let's talk about, like, a cleanser or reset is fine, but our detox, whatever. I hate the word detox. Yeah. Because our bodies are wonderful.
Yeah.
If I believed in God, I would say they were God's creations. Yeah. Like, we're people. We're wonderful. Our bodies are great. Everybody's body is great. And we look at them as a source of, like, shame and tension and, like, oh, if only my body didn't do that. And if only my body were cleaner. Like, what are we all talking about?
Yeah.
But if you think of your body as, like, I describe a lot of the time my son, I talk about his body like a car, you know, and then I'm like, well, if you're putting gasoline, like really good gasoline in your car, then like it runs better and it can go faster and it can go this and it can go that. But if you're putting water or like vegetable oil in your car, and something it's not supposed to have, then it might not work as well. So we talk about like junk food and we talk about everything in moderation and all that stuff. But I think that at least for me, the older I've gotten, the more I realize how I respond to certain foods, and I've taken certain things out of my diet. So it's really lifestyle changes. There's nothing you can do in a month that is going to change your body if that is what you're aiming for, you know? It's like these tiny little lifestyle changes always that are just like, that will change everything up. Two things have changed, 2 big things. Mm-hmm. First of all, well, you know, I love a habits chart. Whenever I feel like I've gone off piste, I make a good habits chart and I post it on the, I put it on the fridge and I check off every day that I take my supplements. I meditate, I exercise.
Oh, that's so good.
We love gold stickers and rewards in this house. We
do. And also it just gets me in the habit of doing things without really. I added a crossword puzzle every day because I love my brain to stay fit, whatever it is. I have always thought that's super annoying for everyone else in my house. But Rodney, of course, was like, where's mine? And my son was like, I want one. I was like, great. Our house is going to be so clean. I was like, put yourself in a hamper. He's like, great. We'll see how
everyone loves rewards. Everyone wants a feeling of validation. And
Does everyone in your house do it? Or is it just you?
I have printed one out for my husband. My son is also asking for one.
Wow.
I just really want to make sure that he's ready, because I know I never want him to feel like I'm telling him what to do.
Yep.
But he loves he's very internally motivated, so I feel like there's a perfect time for it, and we're gonna slap it up there when it's time. Because he'll be like, did you notice how clean my room is? And I'll be
like gold star.
Yes, I did. It's never gonna work for me to tell him what to do. But 2 of the things on my chart, god guys, first of all, I haven't had a drink since my birthday.
Oh my gosh.
Yes, and you know how much I love to drink.
You do love to drink. What motivated that change?
I had a 2-day panic attack after my birthday.
Oh, just wow.
Crazy anxiety.
Oh, my God.
And you know, I've been a little bit anxious after I drink anyway. And it had always been anything other than tequila. Tequila was fine. And I was like, great. So now I only drink tequila.
Yeah.
Well, tequila turned on me.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So I was in a very bad state after my birthday. And I just was done.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I just said, I think I'm done.
Yeah.
Sadly, goodbye. I love you. Yeah. You don't love me. Oh, wow. We had a wonderful time together. Gosh. We had, we had a really nice 20-year run. Ups and downs.
Yeah.
Adventures.
Again,
in many countries.
The cocktails were very, very good and strong at your birthday. So it's a good way to go out.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. It was. And I just haven't wanted one since.
Yeah.
So that's just like, I think we're done.
Yeah.
And we'll see how I feel. And I've started feeling really good.
Yeah.
I started feeling really, really good. The anxiety or whatever I was feeling, because we were both super anxious at the end of the year. And I was like, we got to nip this.
Yeah.
So that certainly lifted a good 10%. But then I also went to my cardiologist, who I love, who keeps my cholesterol in check. And my cholesterol is in a very good place. And she said, okay, she's a lipidologist. So she studies the link between basically any sort of fat floating around in your body. And so she also talks about the link between blood sugar and high cholesterol and Alzheimer's.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So my grandmother passed away. She had Alzheimer's. I also happen to have the gene, the double gene, really. So it's pretty much like for certain that I'm supposed to get it. So
we can cure that by the time that you get up to that age. Like, we've got some time.
Her take is it's very unlikely that there will be a cure. Because it's made up of so many...
Well, not with that attitude.
It's made up of so many different factors. Yeah. It can be bacteria in your gums.
It
can be also plaque in your whatever. Like, there are 5 or 6 different things that make up Alzheimer's plaque. Mm-hmm. And it will take a long time before, there's a way to treat it. She says, but there is a way to prevent it. So she gave me this book called The End of Alzheimer's, which is by a doctor at, I cannot remember, I'll link to it. The End of Alzheimer's is a study that was done a few years ago. And it's a very simple, basically like ketogenic way of eating. It's like quite low carb, not like eat bacon, but like, just don't eat so many carbs. Eat like up your fat and protein and a fasting window. Okay. A 16-8 fasting window.
So every day?
Mm-hmm. Wow. So I eat between 10 and 6 mm-hmm. or 11 and 7, whatever. And I feel great. It's been really, really good.
Yeah.
Like really good. I have more energy. And she says like that way your body actually burns and excretes the stuff mm-hmm. that will otherwise settle somewhere else. And I was like, sure, I'll do it. And she says, okay, do you think you can do it? And I was like, I already said I'll do it. Yeah. And she laughs and she goes, and I was like, what? Do other people not do it?
Yeah.
And she goes, Pri, no one listens to me. Except for you. She was like, you listen to me and then you go home and you do what I tell you. Everyone else just wants to do whatever they want.
Yeah.
And then come to me for a pill in 10 years. She said, there is no cure for Alzheimer's. There is currently a way to prevent or slow it down.
Yeah. So what's this DNA test that you took? Like, where did you?
She did it.
Okay. So you went in?
Yeah. Yeah. 8 years ago. And she was like, okay, so just so you know, like, we're going to have to talk about this. You know, like, let's get your cholesterol under control and mm-hmm. then let's talk about Alzheimer's.
It's amazing.
Yeah, she was saying that, like, a lot of people who study Alzheimer's call it type 3 diabetes because there is that link.
Yeah.
Oh, I guess with high blood sugar.
To insulin resistance, blood sugar, like, it's all kind of, like, intertwined. But the book is fascinating, The End of Alzheimer's.
I'm going to read this.
Yeah, I kind of want to read it, too.
Yeah.
And so I just turned 40.
Congratulations.
Wait, when was your birthday?
Mine was in July.
Right, yeah.
And when I went in to my eye doctor, he was like, I'm noticing cholesterol deposits on your eyes. And I was like, okay, time to go to the regular doctor. And apparently my cholesterol is like borderline high. Mm-hmm. But the doctor wasn't like super nervous about it. But I was like, I feel like I need someone to be more nervous about it. Yeah. So this is super interesting to hear.
Go see my cardiologist.
Lots of different types of cholesterol as well. Like the larger kind versus the smaller kind. I always forget what their different names are. Some are fine if it's high, and some are bad. Maybe go and talk to someone. Yeah. Just a little checky check.
I just feel like I want someone to talk to.
Yeah. I highly recommend my cardiologist. I love her to death. I've seen her since I was 30. Sandra Fallon. Wonderful lady. She researches a lot and she's over at St. John's and she's just brilliant. Mm-hmm. She's really tapped into, she's always at a conference and always coming back with
always speaking.
Papers, being like, let me explain to you what's going on so you're aware.
So you're doing the whole 30 for the second time, did you say?
I think it might be my sixth time.
Oh, really?
Or something. I'm Muslim and I fast for Ramadan. Mm. And around 4 or 5 years ago, I realized that because Ramadan kind of moves up the calendar. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So now it's heavy in the summer, right in the hottest part. Oof. And it's really hard of it. And I found that when I was going from regular eating into Ramadan, I was a mess. I was getting backaches. It was my body just wasn't doing it well. So I started doing Whole30 before Ramadan started.
Oh, smart.
And that really made it a much easier experience because my body was acclimated to fasting and was cleaner, I guess.
As I've said before, intermittent fasting is really just Ramadan for white people. That's basically what it is. But that's so, so fascinating. So you'd start doing it before the month.
I did start doing before Ramadan. And then I also have weird insomnia in October. I have seasonal insomnia. Yeah, so weird. And I found that when I was doing Whole30 during October, then I was able to sleep better.
That's fascinating.
It's so weird.
You gotta listen to your body. Like you listen to your car. That's crazy.
And I'm doing it now just because I was sick for 8 weeks and I was like, I just need to.
And you feel better.
And I need to figure out what's going on.
That is always so alarming, isn't it? When you're just like, God, something.
I turned 40. My premenopausal, what's happening? You just turned 40 and all of a sudden everything changes.
So true. I feel like things started hurting all of a sudden. Yeah. Didn't hurt before. Oh, God.
You're like, what? That's a body part?
I remember being on a show where I was drinking 3 to 4 to 5 Diet Cokes a day.
Oh my God.
And
what happened?
I had 3 periods in 1 month. So I quit drinking Diet Coke. I now have 1 Diet Coke maybe once a year.
Yeah.
I have to have a very bad hangover to have a Diet Coke. Yeah. That's usually an alarm bell sound
for a hangover. It is the cure.
It's excellent. It's very, very good.
It works
Not
that I haven't been hungover in a while, but a Diet Coke will do it.
So when my husband sees there's a Diet Coke on my Postmates order. He's like, oh.
One Diet Coke.
We did bits last night. Yes, we did. Yes, we did.
Yeah, but I don't think I've had soda in a very long time.
Yeah. It's very interesting how quickly that kind of drops out of your diet. Mm-hmm. And things. What are the hardest things for you with doing something like with Whole30 in terms of, you know, adjusting your regular like eating patterns or drinking patterns?
My thing is like I'm a sugar addict. Mm-hmm. So sugar cravings are really hard. Yeah. I was never a fan of pasta. I always feel bloated from it. So I feel like giving that up isn't a big deal. Yeah. Giving up bread doesn't feel like everything else feels like easy.
Sweet, yeah.
That sweet thing. I'm just, and I have fruits in my refrigerator, which I probably shouldn't have, but like I need something. Yeah. Sweet. Otherwise I can't do it. I'm Bengali. So the Bengali people need the mishti. They need the sweets. We're known for being the sweet makers.
Mishti. My Masi is married. Her husband's Bengali. So it's like mishti galore.
You have to. Yeah. And then everyone has diabetes. Yeah. But it's so good. Our culture is all about sweets.
Here for a good time, not a long time. Do you have any favorite Whole30 recipes?
Do I have any favorite Whole30 recipes? I don't. Every time I do it, I just like restart like cookbooks and start like looking again. I guess soups generally are good.
Yes,
there's a really good pho recipe. I don't know where it is, but you it uses a lot of star anise and it gives it that licorice flavor, which is so delicious.
Yes.
There's like a matcha. A recipe that you make with coconut butter, which is probably very fattening.
That sounds amazing.
Really good.
Will you send it to us?
Yeah, I'll send it.
Yeah, yeah. Send all of them.
I feel like stuff. I should know more recipes though. And like you're bringing it up. I'm just like, I should know more recipes.
Yeah.
Oh, once you find your go-tos, it's like next year, then you'll work in more things. You'll work in more things and you'll work in more things.
My go-to cookbook is the Nom Nom Paleo.
Yes.
I've had, doesn't she have like a sauce or something or some spices too?
She just has like all that Asian flavor.
She's got the umami powder, which is like the dried mushroom stuff. Mm-hmm. She's got like this kind of, it's like a hoisin sauce, but it's not. It's like a, she's got a lot of, she's great.
Yeah, she's good.
And she has an Instant Pot, which I do too. And so I like always look to her for those kinds of recipes.
I feel like I need an Instant Pot.
Oh, it's
I know I don't have one either. But everyone is so jazzed about them.
I know you're like so excited. I throw out everything else. I throw out all my appliances.
Wow.
I only have the Instant Pot and of course like a blender. But I had a rice cooker. I had a slow cooker. I had a I only use the Instant Pot.
But what if you want to have rice and whatever's in the Instant Pot?
Then you make both
in the Instant Pot. Like
you can make rice. It takes like 12 minutes.
Oh, that makes it
and
easier.
And then you make
It's easy. Fast.
It's so fast. And I have with two kids, you know, like I don't have to spend, I can have a fresh dinner every night with maybe 10 minutes of prep.
That's amazing.
That's incredible.
Yeah. And it's really magical because I can make like a big thing of chicken soup. I can make a turkey chili. Yeah. I can make steamed fish and veggies, 5 minutes. I can make black beans. I can make like 3 or 4 staples that then I then have in a fridge. And then, I mean, truly doesn't take, there is a chicken soup recipe where I literally throw in, chopped up onion, carrot, celery, chicken stock. I don't even cook it. I just close it 25 minutes and it's ready.
Wow. That's amazing.
It's 10 minutes.
Fine. I'll get an Instant Pot.
It's really worth it.
Was this an infomercial? Did we just do one?
I'm going to go to Goop.
This should be brand new.
I'm going to go to Instant Pot. I hope you're selling ads for these for your show.
Absolutely. I know. Someday. Send us free stuff.
This is not an Instant Pot episode. What were we talking about? I mean, the reason I thought cleanses would be such a fun thing to talk about with you is because you were like a master of reinvention, which I love. Like you've done so many things.
It's weird.
You've done so many. I was looking through your website because I was like, I want to get the bio right. You and I have met, but I was like, let's like get this right. And then I was like, I can't possibly put all these things in there. You're just going to have to walk through your life yourself.
I've had a pretty, not a long life, but I do a lot.
Well, my favorite was when I was looking, I was like, yes, like politically active, like blah, blah, blah. You've been a journalist. You've worked on campaigns. You are a music curator and a visual artist.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
So tell us. Just walk through.
I can start with the visual art first since they're in front of you.
Yes.
The project that I do for the past 7 years. I didn't make new ones this year, but I make 6.
Muslim Valentine's Day cards.
Muslim Valentine's Day cards every year.
Oh my God.
And
lull in. Stop it. Oh my gosh.
A little snarky.
Wait, is it Ramadan? Because I'm caught in your thirst trap.
you know, of the times.
There is no border wall that could keep us apart. This one.
This is girl. Spicy.
I love it.
There isn't a bone saw that can hack away all that, my love for you.
You know, when that thing happened with Saudi Arabia.
Oh, we're aware. Yeah, okay. Oh, I know exactly what you're talking about.
Now, no joke is ever too soon.
Also, we need to talk about the Saudi influencers trip that happened just before Christmas as well, because that was fucking disgusting.
Yep.
Even my, oh my God, my favorite white man, Armie Hammer, was on this trip.
No.
Oh, no.
So was the hijabi model Halima?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. And Diplo? Well, but Diplo's just like everywhere.
So was dumb. Diplo on the trip?
Mm-hmm. Oh, Steve Aoki?
Oh,
take
God.
My magic carpet out for a ride. It's very sexy. Amazing.
I'll never deport you.
No, these are all amazing.
These are so, so good.
Where can
I love it. Yeah, where can we purchase these?
You can go
these?
To my Etsy shop.
Oh, okay, great, great, great.
An Etsy shop called Tazzy Star Shop.
These are going directly into my actual card pocket over here.
Wonderful. So I started these cards maybe like 8 years ago. I can't even remember. Yeah. It feels weird to like have an art project be so long. I was in a book called Love Inshallah, which was the secret love lives of American Muslim women. Yeah. Ooh, and I was doing book tour for that. I was one of like 25 writers. And every time we would go out, everyone would say like, oh, but do Muslim people love? Or like, you know, it's so ridiculous. And so like, I started making these cards for my friends, actually. Well, actually, I started as a Twitter joke. I was on Twitter and I would like just use the hashtag Muslim V-Day, just be very super snarky. And then my friends were like, why don't you just make these cards? You're an artist. You can just like do them. And I was like, okay. So I made limited set, painted them, photocopied them, went to Kinko's, printed them up. Gave it to my friends. My friends loved it.
Yeah.
The next year, everyone was like, you should sell these. I was like, oh, I don't know. Because they're so wrong in some ways.
They're really cute, but they're,
you know.
The thing that I do find, you know, very upsetting is, again, having to be asked the question, do Muslims love?
Right.
Like, it just, the impact of dehumanizing language and how, you know, how pervasive it is and how casual it can be that this project would even have to exist.
Right. I hope what I am able to achieve with these cards is that I want people to feel uncomfortable. Like, oftentimes when I read these cards aloud at comedy shows or whatever, people don't know if they should laugh or not. And I want people to laugh. But I also want people to laugh, like, in that discomfort laugh, I want people to think. Because I think so often we, as activists, we go into this world where we're like, you need to believe this and you need to believe that. People just kind of tune it out. And through jokes and through weird projects like this, people, you're catching people at a different space and you're able to like catch them off guard. And then then all of a sudden you're in a comedy club or you're on Etsy page and you're like, oh wait, I need to think about why I'm uncomfortable with this. And you know, that's my form of activism. Yeah. That's what I love.
Yeah. I think that's really smart. It's just wonderful because I think what you're doing is something that's so specific to you. Like, this is you. Like,
this is your definitely sense of humor.
It's like a pure distillation of you.
Yeah.
And I think what I've seen from a lot of my friends who are creators who may be from minority or underrepresented backgrounds is there was a willingness there's a desire originally to like make things as broad as possible so you can with as many people as possible. We've all done it, and that work stinks.
It's terrible.
And the more specific it gets to your experience, the more people connect with it, and the more people think about it, and the more it changes people's lives, even if it is a joke on a card.
It's so absurd, but I love it. I love making these cards. I feel like I've been a part of a lot of projects which are just kind of pushing back on narratives of our communities. I started being an environmental activist.
Yeah.
And I was living in DC when September 11th happened. And I knew that I was like 21 at the time or whatever, you know, like I was right out of college. All my family's here in Los Angeles. And I was told not to go to the office because chaos was happening.
Yeah.
And in that moment, I was like, things are going to change. If you're brown in America, things are going to change. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it became very I didn't become socially conscious then, but I became socially conscious around my racial justice issues.
Yeah.
So I started really seeing myself like as a person of color, as a Muslim woman, as someone who has to advocate for a community.
Oh, yeah. We were also, everyone was othered so immediately.
Yeah. The first first man that died was in Arizona, you know, for wearing a hijab at a gas station. Yeah. Like, we hear this story all the time. And so, like, I always talked about how I went into doing environmental activism because I hated people and I liked trees. Yeah. And then I was like, after that, I was like, oh, I got to care about people now.
I guess. Trees get rid of the people.
Useless.
You're like, my proposal to save the trees is a little radical. Like, get rid of all the people. Just get rid of them.
People, overrated.
Overrated.
Trees do nothing but give us.
They're real givers. Yeah. They're real givers.
Mm-hmm. So I ended up starting a nonprofit when I was 24 called South Asian American Voting Youth. I didn't have many South Asian friends at the time, so I had to learn who South Asian American community was. Yeah. I added them all to the board. We ran a national campaign getting out 18 to 24 year olds to vote.
Incredible.
I was like 24 at the time when I was an ED. Mm-hmm. And it was just like, it was very amazing and wild and great. Like, I don't know how to put words to this. Like, it is going to be the most pivotal moment in my life.
Right.
To that experience. And ever since then, I've been involved in electoral politics in some way or another.
You just mentioned as well, not having previously many South Asian friends before this process. Like, it's interesting that the idea that this experience of knowing that you are suddenly being othered then leads you to find your community.
Yeah. And led me to dig up stories about my community. I think, you know, the narrative I was told, that I thought I was told, I should say, is that, like, we all need to be doctors and engineers. Then after digging into my past, I realized that, like, my grandfather was a refugee. He had to flee Kolkata to go to Dhaka when partition happened. Mm-hmm. And then when the 1971 Bangladesh independence happened, my mother's family was in Lahore, and they had to, and he was in a, my grandfather was in a concentration camp. And then they had to flee with everything that they could fit in a backpack and like get on a plane and get out of there. So, like, these narratives, like, my mom just kind of dismissed it. She was just like, oh yeah, we're just be successful. But then you're like, we have, like, really strong activism narrative in our history that, like, is just forgotten. Or not forgotten, but, like, hidden. Like we can be better than that or something.
There's a cultural imperative to kind of bury that stuff. Because it's too painful.
Too painful.
It's hard. They don't want to talk about it. They saw it, you know? And it's really, and just to move forward, you know?
And I think those stories are so powerful to me as an activist now and just to the people that I work with and the activism that I do. I started a camp for young folks, young South Asian kids, and when I was living in the Bay Area, called Bay Area Solidarity Summer. And when I was in the first year of doing that, I was very adamant. I was like,
can I just say you're great with an acronym? I'm like, oh, SAVA. This is all great.
You need good acronyms. Otherwise, how
great
are you?
Branding.
You're really good at acronyms. I was like, wait a minute. Yeah.
I don't think I started BASE as the acronym. I think someone, like the group up there did. But I was very adamant about doing, like, history for our community.
Yeah.
So I didn't know, but, like, there is a radical South Asian activism history that started in the 1912s with the Gather Party in the Bay Area. So there's a Gather House up there. They were involved with doing activism of freeing India from the British regime.
Yeah.
And so they were like, they all came out to go to UC Berkeley. They got activated. They went back there. And I was listening to the podcast you did with Tejal.
Oh, yeah.
And you were talking about the Punjabis that were in California. Yes. They all came over in the 1920s.
Yeah, fascinating.
And they were working the fields.
Yeah.
So California just, you know, like, I didn't, no one knows this.
No.
But it's our history.
Yeah, the long history of South Asians in California is pretty crazy.
It's amazing. Yeah. It's been fun to, like, I'm just a nerd in that way. So I got really involved in, like, learning about South Asian American history, our people, figuring out how do we keep our youth activated and how do we, you know, advocate on issues for our community.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
you tell our listeners? I mean, I know, but can you tell our listeners about what you're working on now?
Which one?
Yeah, your day job.
My day job. Yeah. Right now I'm at 18 Million Rising. I've been there for about 4 years, okay. Over 4 years.
And what is 18 Million Rising?
That's the number of Asian Americans we have in the U.S. according to the last census.
Okay.
And we are like an Asian American Move On, which is the easy way to say it. Mm-hmm. But then I realized a lot of people don't know who Move On mm-hmm. is. But we do online digital campaigns. So we do signature gathering, social media, and we do different things for the Asian American community. And it's been a good ride, good experience. We're getting ready for Black History Month. So we're doing a whole like series on Asian American and Black history and like sharing a reading list that will be.
Where do Asian American voters fit into the upcoming like the major election?
The elections?
That thanks.
Because obviously, you know, everyone's as they should be courting the Latino vote and courting that they're so like, let's say pandering. Everyone's pandering to various groups.
Everyone's at a black church right now.
I know, yeah. Right?
It's very embarrassing.
It's so embarrassing. It's so embarrassing. Like, do they think nobody knows?
It's embarrassing to everyone. It's embarrassing for the churches that are letting these fools come in and do the whole song and dance.
Is it illegal?
It's embarrassing for them.
As a church, anyways, there's a gray line.
Yeah, ask that question to every single church that has a politician showing up and joining in on a gospel Sunday. It's pretty bad. But again, so yeah, where does the South Asian vote fit into the election? Like, you know, where is the court? You know, what do those events look like?
I didn't realize there were that many of us, frankly.
There's a lot. Asian Americans are the ones that are most likely to not be aligned with a party.
Mm-hmm.
So there's the largest,
interesting,
about 33% are independent voters. So I've been doing this work for like, you know, 20 years now. One of the things that we always talk about is that people expect Asian Americans to be Democratic voters because they're people of color, but I don't think that's a good way to look at it because we are ignored as a community.
Yeah.
We don't get the mailers and language. Mm-hmm. We don't get invited to all these town halls. Mm-hmm. Other communities do. So we're just kind of available.
Tech avail. Just like...
There's no like temple visits.
Yeah. No.
Or like mosque visits or
I mean, but the thing is, that's been shifting. You know, people are participating. We have the first Asian American presidential candidate still in the race. We actually had three. We had Andrew Yang, and then we had Kamala Harris, and then Tulsi Gabbard is part Pacific Islander. So, like, we're participating in politics, but...
That's true. It's nice. It's great. Nice to see the faces, even if, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
But it is interesting you saying that again, the mail is not being printed printed in language. And again, no temple visits. Again, that is not something I see.
And no calls either. Yeah. I was involved with an organization called Asian Americans Advancing Justice in LA. I worked with them for like 4 years. I worked at the Orange County Asian Pacific Islander Community Alliance. And my jobs there were to do in-language voter outreach over the phone. So we would coordinate phone banks.
Mm-hmm.
And at one point, the phone bank that I coordinated was in 17 different languages for the Asian American community.
Yeah. And was there any like Hindi or...
I did Hindi.
You did.
They didn't have it before I came on.
Yeah,
but like because I came on, I was like Punjabi, Hindi, Bangla.
Yeah.
We did Tongan, Samoan.
Yeah.
We did all the Asian... AAPI languages that are ignored usually by the mainstream communities. I was so proud of that work. I think over the course of my life, I reached out to like 400,000 voters.
That's incredible. That's an enormous amount of numbers. But also to me, what's mind-boggling to me is, again, it's just like, that's 18 million votes that you would leave on the table.
Yeah.
Right?
Well,
that's a lot really of them are not citizens. Yeah. A lot of them are... It'll take too much work to like do the language work.
Yeah.
You know, once people start voting, then they're going to become habitual voters.
Yes.
I think that's really important for people to know, is that like, just get this person to the polls this one time and then they're going to not be scared anymore.
Yeah.
And they're going to just, you know, it'll be a habit. Mm. We just need to make voting a habit.
Indeed.
Mm.
Well, sorry, it's not beauty related.
No, thinking about it. No. Well, we're moving. We've got a lot more beauty stuff coming. Yeah. But so we can move on to beauty of the week. So beauty of the week is where we shine a light on someone or something or an object that we think is beautiful this week, and we can start and come around to you. So, Cam.
My beauty of the week is Meghan Markle.
Oh, yes.
She did it.
She got so Prince Harry off the dole. Said, you need to get a job, which is the most black woman thing to do. It's like, I'm sorry, you're living at your grand's house. You've never had a job? Ridiculous. No.
But what do you think he's going to do?
Nothing.
He's going to do all of his like environmental campaigning. He's also all of his veteran campaigning. Yes, there'll be a lot of speaking engagements. They'll definitely have an Apple deal within 20 minutes, I guarantee it. It will be an astronomical amount of money. Also, he got so much inheritance from Diana as well, like 50 million. He's fine. I'm not worried about his pockets at all. He's fine. Yeah. But she jumped him out of the gang.
Yeah.
Incredible. Took him away from that incredibly toxic, insane family who are basically saying, we'd much rather have Prince Andrew, the paedophile, than a mixed race woman in the gang. And Meghan said Mexit. Mexit means Mexit. And took him and that beautiful baby and bounced to Canada.
I'm so excited for her.
I'm thrilled. They're going to move to LA eventually.
Of course they will.
I'm very,
just a layover.
Oh, completely.
It's just a layover.
Very excited to bump into baby Archie at Erewhon. It's going to be great.
Oh my God, it's going to happen. Like a camel milk aisle.
Genuinely, it's the amount of racist abuse from the British press over the last 2 years has just been insane. And so to basically, and no one ever thought they'd actually leave. No, but so to have this wonderful New Year's surprise of, do you know what? We're leaving and we don't want your money either.
It's one of the most wonderful things, truly, about having lived in both England and the U.S., as we both have. There's nothing more wonderful than, like, that American thing of, like, oh, well, that doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't. Yeah. All your, like, tradition means nothing to me.
Yeah, we can just leave. You don't have to.
Just leave.
Just bye.
I'm just going to. What are you going to do? I'm going to get a job.
Yeah.
Like I used to have. So,
I know you guys don't know what those are. No. But I'm just going to go do that.
Did you see the video of. It's Prince Harry, right? I was like, what's this white guy's name? Prince Harry, like, talking to that, like, Disney exec saying, like, hey, my wife does voiceovers. Yes! And you're just like, are you?
If your husband is not out trying to secure the bag for you
a good husband.
While schmoozing with Bob Iger, then he's not even your husband. Divorce him. Okay. Like, I mean, he's ready for, like, you know, living a self-sustained life.
Totally.
He's out there. He's networking.
He's networking.
He's
like, my wife does voiceovers.
Brushing off the Rolodex. She's going to be supporting him in like 2 seconds.
Oh, completely.
my beauty of the week is a book called How to Do Nothing by Jenny O'Dell.
This sounds excellent. Tell me more.
It's wonderful. So in addition to the fasting and the no drinking, I took the internet off my phone. I took the internet off my phone in December and I have not put it back on. It's been amazing.
When you say you took the internet off your phone, explain to me what that means.
I took off social media completely.
Mm-hmm.
And I also disabled Safari and Mail.
Interesting.
So all I can do really is text and take photos of my children.
Yeah.
And text photos of my children.
That's great. And Google I love Max. Those texts of your children. I get them every day.
Yes, yes. They feel more personal, don't they?
Yeah.
So I took the internet off my phone. I within 2 days felt like a load had been lifted.
Yes.
I'm an introvert. So any sort of social interaction takes something out of me. Yeah. And I realized, even though I love the internet, like I love alcohol, alcohol does not love me. The internet does not love me. I had to stop. There was just too much noise. And it was making me anxious as well. So I feel so much better. And as I'm thinking all this, I read this book, How to Do Nothing. And the elevator pitch has been, and this is wrong, it says it's like a Walden for the digital age. Mm-hmm. Jenny O'Dell is an artist and art historian at Stanford University. And it's really just about being productive and being, like, how we define being productive and being engaged when you are being bombarded with digital information. And it's about taking a breath, going for a walk, like taking things in. And ultimately what I was feeling was I want to be putting more out than I'm taking in.
Yeah.
And so I have like, in a way made myself a hermit, but like a digital hermit, yeah. You know? And it's really working for me, because what I noticed immediately after, especially taking the internet off my phone, was all of a sudden I had a very strong urge to make plans with friends, like real hangout plans, call them on the phone, actually see them. Because making plans used to feel like a huge hassle. If someone called me, I would jump in fright. Yeah. Just like, ugh! And now it's like, oh, well, I haven't talked to anyone in a while. Yeah. Like, I don't mind having a phone conversation. Yeah. So that's been a good balance for me. And, you know, like I joked that the exact amount of online I want to be is 2005 BlackBerry.
Mm.
And that's what my phone has become.
Yes.
That's amazing.
That's pretty tight. Incredible.
And so I'm going to maintain that. So Jenny O'Dell, read the book.
Damn.
How about you?
Well, I actually was just thinking about, like, when you said, like, get off the phone. For me, mm-hmm. I'm able to get off the phone because I puzzle. I love mm-hmm. puzzling.
Wonderful.
I just did a puzzle at a friend's house the other night. I was charmed.
It was so much fun. So and then I paint. And painting, so nice. When you're, like, painting, you can't look at your phone because your hands are busy.
Yeah.
I'm doing, I'm totally not answering your question, but I'm Whatever. Doing, I told myself I was going to learn one new skill a month for 2020. So I learned how to do punch needling this month.
Oh,
where you just like take a needle and punch it. And that was a lot of fun. I don't know. I feel like just making things keeps you away from your phone. And I've been having a lot of joy with that.
Yeah. Craft. The beauty of the week is crafting.
Yeah. Crafting. Yes. Yeah.
I agree with that. And what I've been doing is the phone. When I just don't like I use it during the workday and then I don't like put it away.
Yeah.
Like after six, I don't even know where it is.
I work in digital, though. So I like need to be near my phone.
It's different.
But at the same time, you know what? I'm the single one here. You have to like respond to guys immediately on these apps. Yeah. Otherwise, they get like upset. So I had to put a thing in my profile saying, I'm only checking this 30 minutes a day.
Yeah.
Don't expect an immediate response. Yeah, but the fact that you have to like put that.
Exactly.
Some people expect. Yeah. Everyone's like, you took mail. And I was like, first of all, I'm a writer. Like,
Exactly. Leave me the fuck alone.
I mean, there's certainly like podcast business, but like I check my mail once in the morning and once at lunch and that's it. And I respond to what I respond to and everyone can wait a day. And if you can't wait a day, you can call me or whatever.
Yeah.
And it's been working out.
That's amazing. I also just started like explaining to people as well with projects that while I'm writing, I do not check my email. Mm-hmm. Just like it's far too distracting. Mm-hmm. It's too task driven and it takes me away from writing. So if you would like your draft on time, don't expect me to be super on email. If it's urgent, reach me through my assistant. Like there's always a way that you can find me. Most of the time you'll find they don't really need to reach you.
Nope.
No, they never need to reach you. Yeah. It's crazy.
We started doing at work, we started doing meeting-free Wednesdays. Mm. So everyone, it was not just internal meetings, but we did all meetings completely. And that turned into our work day. And it's life-changing.
That's very, very cool.
Because you're just like,
not
available.
Yeah.
Now we do a wrap-up called Rosebud and Thorn, which is a game that I play with my son at the end of the day to wrap up our day. So Rose is like a beauty highlight. Of the last, like, whatever, few weeks.
It doesn't also have to be beauty. It can be wellness. It can be, anything really. Life, it could be, like, a book. It can be,
A thorn is a low point, and then a bud is something you're looking forward to trying. So we can start with the roses.
I think my rose for the week is the film 1917, which is marvelous.
Beautiful.
And I hate war movies.
Yeah, me too.
I have so little interest in any, especially a World War movie. I could not be more bored. It's the most fully overmined genre of like prestige film that we have, and it's very boring.
I agree.
1917, on the other hand, outstanding.
It's beautiful.
Absolutely incredible. It's essentially constructed in one shot, and it is obviously it's beautiful because it's shot by Roger fucking Deakins, who is just a king. And it's just a very, very marvelous film. And I came away from it, me and my friend of the pod, Amanda, she described it as white excellence. And then we later found out, because one of the other things about the film as well is they actually represent a lot. Well, you actually see that not all of the soldiers in World War One were all white. Like there are, you know, there are the Sikh Gurkhas on the battlefields and actually have speaking parts. And there are black soldiers, as there actually were in the First World War. And so it was the very first time I'd actually seen a vaguely representative or diverse, like, you know, World War movie. And then I was doing fell down a random Google hole the other day because there was a bit of a furor about there's some idiot who went on Good Morning Britain who was basically saying that the forced diversity of 1917 took him out of the film, having clearly he knew nothing about the history of the Gurkha soldiers.
Couldn't enjoy it because of the brown faces.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Because he clearly did not know about the history of the Gurkhas at all. And someone responded to this on Twitter and said, like, ironic considering that this film is based on the director's grandfather's stories from the First World War, mm-hmm. and he was actually brown. And I was like, excuse me? Sam Mendes' grandfather was...
Wait a minute, black. A person of color?
Sam Mendes' dad is from Trinidad.
What? Googling now.
Right?
I just got goosebumps.
Right?
I'm going to have to watch all the movies now.
Turns out it was black excellence the whole time.
Oh my goodness. It's the so twists good. And turns of this story.
I know.
Talk about one shot.
I know. Oh my God. Look at this. Look, she actually has goosebumps. She literally has goosebumps. It's amazing.
I love a surprise. I love a surprise ending. Yeah.
What?
Indeed. It's fantastic. Highly recommend you go and see it. But yeah, so the entire film is based on his dad's, on his grandfather's stories from Moore. And it's, yeah, it's honestly, it's a really remarkable piece of cinema. It's a very, very simple story. And it's very much, especially watching it just after the, basically the horrific situation with Iran. And it was, you are so used to very... big men making very big declarations, and it is the 18, 19, 20-year-old boys that actually have to do the dirty work. Yes. And it's a very, whilst it's visually epic, it's a very small story about two very young boys who actually have to bear the brunt of the decisions of war. And it's just excellent. Anyway.
Where
Trinidadian excellence
it?
In a movie theater. Definitely watch it in a movie theater. Okay. And
still out?
It's still out, and then it'll probably win an Oscar, and then it will be in more theaters.
Done.
But yes, see it on as big a screen as you possibly can.
I'm
it's
a little
great.
Obsessed with Trinidad because I love chutney music.
Yes.
And the
Amanda,
fusion.
Are you listening?
The fusion of like Desi music and local music. So. Oh. I do music too, so I released a Christmas chutney album like
Shut
a few
up.
Years ago.
Oh my gosh.
I'll send it. Like, it's just like a mixtape, not like an original, but like chutney Christmas music is the best.
I love it.
It's so good.
Oh my God.
That's incredible. Camille's already planning
her excited.
Next party.
Oh my God.
That's incredible. My rose is well, it came from a sad thing, which was my grandmother passed away, and I had this urge to, my grandma taught me how to do everything with my hands. She taught me how to sew and crochet and knit and all those things when I was really young. So I hadn't made the link weirdly, but I had bought this little like needlepoint kit when I was visiting my mother, and right after my grandma died, I felt this like crazy urge to do it.
Yeah.
Plus I had all this time now because I don't have the internet on my phone.
Yes.
Yes. Found truly two to three extra hours a day.
Yeah.
A lot of quiet restorative time, and I've been doing this needlepoint. It's a tiny thing. It's taking forever. And I got a little bit impatient about it, but then I realized my thing is I want to do everything at once. As you know, this is a problem. I do everything at once. But I realized, I could just finish this and then I can do the next thing.
Yeah.
I don't need to learn Spanish today. I can like finish this and then I can start taking my Spanish lessons. And I can finish my Spanish lessons. I can start taking guitar lessons.
I love this. Do you have a
rose?
Form? Yeah, like, a rose or a
thorn. Rose is like something good?
Yeah.
Well, this is like bad but good.
Okay.
I went to an anti-CAA protest in Little India. Ooh. They were protesting the genocide of Muslims in India. And Modi has changed the law to, and it's, India's in chaos. So this organization named Equality Labs, they're organizing protests in all the Little Indias all across the U.S. And I was there on Sunday. And it was beautiful. It was beautiful to see so many people out on that street corner. They spoke, they had speakers for like 3 hours, and the ED of Equality Labs spoke and was just like super articulate and talked a lot about like the history of surveillance of the brown community, and she also sings.
Yeah.
So she like did this speech about like just smart, sweet speech about like why this is bad. And then she like sang like protest song, and she has an album coming out too. I'm just like, you're amazing.
You're just doing everything. Like,
Her name's Thanmori. That's my shout out for this for my rose. But learn more about the protests that are going on in India, because I think everything's kind of just silenced right now. There's information out there.
I found much more written about it over Christmas, over the holiday, and then as soon as Iran happened, then everything just kind of got, you know, basically, the news story, the cycle just shifted entirely. Yeah.
From what I understand, also Kashmir is still without internet. Kashmir's been without internet for the past 3 months, and like it's just not you're not hearing about it.
Yeah,
it's a mess.
It's a mess. But we need to talk about it in our communities.
My thorn is actually my original thorn was that there is no Oscar nomination for J-Lo for Hustlers and Academy electric chair. But actually, my real thorn is actually Clearview AI app, which this company is absolutely evil. And we will link to an article in the show notes. And we talked to it's essentially a company that scrapes all of your facial data from websites without your permission, and then leases it out to law enforcement agencies and whoever else they want. And so that essentially you can be, your face can be captured on CCTV or from a camera phone, and your home address, all of your personal details can be matched up to anyone without your permission. And this company has been scraping these images from Facebook and from Tumblr and from anywhere else that your face is online, from like LinkedIn. And Facebook are doing absolutely nothing about it because they're evil. And also because Peter Thiel, who's on the board of Facebook, is also one of the investors of this company.
That's so terrible.
So they suck. And more people need to be talking about ways in which to combat this specific company, and also the use of facial recognition data. And because otherwise a lot of women are going to die.
Ugh. Our organization is doing campaigns on this. So do follow 18 Million Rising to get some more updates.
That's fantastic. Yeah. What is, can you give us an example of something that is, or some of the actions that
Well, one of the things that we've been thinking about is how the Uyghurs in China are being surveilled.
So
a lot of the surveillance that we're experiencing here is coming from Chinese technology.
Yeah, the government registration stuff, right? Yeah.
And so we're trying to figure out like how can we figure out who the target is to attack them? And I mean, I imagine Clearview probably is like super connected internationally into the surveillance community. So we're figuring it out. But
they're actually not that well connected. This is actually a relatively small startup written by a guy who had two failed other startups. And this is his first foray.
Right?
Of course it is. Yeah. And this is the first successful startup he has had. His other two were, one was like a dating site, and I can't remember what the other one was. Oh, he's also a failed male model as well. And so they're connected with American law enforcement. So they've been going after a lot of like local law enforcements and leasing it to them. But internationally, they've not yet made that reach, but they will if we do not nip it in the bud now.
Yeah.
I mean, it's also just shocking to me that, you know, facial recognition AI is something that companies like Google have said, no, that's too evil. We can't go there.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yep.
Like,
that's a good point.
Yeah.
Okay. So my thorn. Oh, thanks, man. Thanks. Mm. Thanks for poisoning us.
Wait, what?
Oh, yeah. I read it.
What the
fuck?
I just had to return I just ordered a whole shipment, fresh thanks, and they have like insane amounts of like PFAS, these chemicals in the crotch. And now we have to return them all.
Oh, I love them so much.
I know. I'm sorry. I thought you would know.
I thought you were going to say the stuff about how the CEO.
Oh, that's all new.
Oh, yeah. She's crazy. Yeah.
But
in this fact,
it's that bad.
I mean, who knows? The rebuttal has been like, you're not supposed to consume them.
Yeah.
But
don't eat your pants. Don't eat your pants.
Don't eat your pants.
Yeah.
So we'll see what actually happens, and who knows?
That's
who knows? Yeah, who knows what's going on that. But I was grumpy because I had just ordered them and now I have to return them.
Oh, damn it. My bud for the week. Should we do? All right. So my bud actually linking to your how to do nothing. So I just got bought a book called How to Break Up with Your Phone, which everyone is reading in England. Oh. And yes, it's basically a book to teach you how to wean you off of your phone habit. And I'm excited to start reading it.
That's great, because while I love How to Do Nothing, it's very academic and very dense. And I was like, there should be a companion piece to this that is like the self-help manual, which she hadn't written. So I'm glad to hear about that. I'm going to read it as well, just to like really double down. My bud is, I'm doing cookbook dinners again.
Fantastic. These are so exciting.
Yes. So years ago, I, after my first baby, I just hadn't cooked in a while, and cooking was not fun for me, and I was just having a bummer of a time, and I love food and I love cooking, so I was feeling very sad about it. So I emailed all my friends, and I had made an Excel spreadsheet, and I was like, I haven't cooked anything from all these cookbooks that I have. Sign up for dinners and come over. Cute. And we'll make it. Sometimes it was bad and sometimes it was good, and I started, it's what got me started writing, because I would write essays about them just for myself on like a WordPress, and it sent me off like on truly on a new career path, and just got me back into cooking again. So I just haven't seen, I've been in the baby bubble for so long that I was like, we need to start having people over dinner again. I have all these cookbooks. So
can I come for Dishoom night?
Yes. Yes, yes, yes. Yes. So I'm going to set it up with dates and everything, and you guys can sign up. And Amina came over and I tried a cookbook called My Two Souths, which is by a chef who, an Indian woman who lives in, is it Atlanta? She has restaurants in Atlanta. And so it's like a kind of a fusion cookbook. Yeah. It was great.
Amazing.
Oh my gosh. Yes, highly recommend. I'm looking forward to that. So, how about you?
Bud is like
something
coming up.
Something you're looking forward to, or?
I mean, I'm looking forward to the end of our podcast show. Like, I'm looking forward to the party show.
Hurrah.
We're doing it at my friend's house. We're getting chairs. We're doing interviews before.
It's so great.
So, like, I'm obviously very sad of the end of Good Muslim, Bad Muslim, but I'm looking forward to, you know, like the next 2 weeks are just like planning for this big party.
Right.
And so like, that's all I'm thinking about is like, okay, party. That's how, like, how are we going
to
do this?
What a way to go out with a bang.
I know. Yeah. I was thinking like, I need to get my co-host a gift. Like, what's a good like gift?
She's very good at gifts.
I love giving gifts.
We obviously aren't going to say it. Pri's
also really, really great at gifts. I literally came home to a box of the strongest smelling truffles the other day that she'd had shipped to the house. I have never been more excited. I was like, what is in here? And the smell hit me and I nearly fell over. It was so good. I'm so excited.
Camilla had mentioned as an aspiration that Oprah has her own truffle and shaver everywhere she goes.
Yes. I read that.
And I was like, this is entirely, entirely attainable.
And now that's me. Mm-hmm. Now that's me.
Are you going to carry it around in your purse?
Please do.
Honestly, might. Yeah, they're currently in like a vacuum box in my fridge, and even then, you still catch a whiff when you open the door. That's incredible. How good they are.
I have a very good sourcer. Well, amazing. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Here. Is there anything you want to promote or talk about?
Well, Muslim V-Day cards, be sure to check them out. They're on my Etsy shop. Excellent. Listen to our podcast. Our last few episodes, we've had a lot of fun episodes because we wanted to go out with a bang. So I know it's past Christmas, but I did a really fun Christmas gin story, and we got my childhood crush Dante Bosco to read as the leading man. Dante Bosco was Rufio on Hook, if you don't know who I'm talking about.
Yeah. Right.
So I was very excited about that.
Wow. I love this. Oh, very exciting. Thank you so much for joining us. It's been so awesome. Right. And that's it for us for another week.
Bye, guys. Bye. For show notes, including links to the products, services, people, and causes mentioned on this episode, you can subscribe to our official newsletter, Stuff and Things, through the link in our show notes or at foxybrownspod.com. See you next week.
Earios. Powered by Acast.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.